The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Welcome to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I'm filling in for Chip Flory here today. I believe he's actually on a plane in the air headed to the National Farm Machinery Show. So if you're going, check him out here there tomorrow. In the meantime, I get to take the reins once again. So yay for that. And, you know, kind of slower markets today, kind of quiet compared to what we've been used to seeing. Now, it put these markets back in December, and it would actually been a big day for soybeans and soybean meal. But in the context of what we've been seeing lately, it's been a little bit slower today than what we have seen. And Davis, do you know what they say about slow markets?
What do they say about those?
Well, they say don't sell slow markets. And do you know what I did?
What did you do? What have you done?
I sold the slow market. Well, you know, I mean, look
at
the prices
we've got.
You know, I kind of am sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
And
say that the majority is always wrong.
Yes, that's true. The majority is always right until they're wrong, and then they're all wrong, right?
So. I can tell you this. You and we didn't get a chance to talk before the show, but I did hear you mention the Superman push-ups, and I got to say, I saw it on Twitter.
Dude,
you looked like you invented the Superman push-up. It was fantastic.
You know, I swear I don't feel like I'm doing it right because I think I'm cheating with my legs. I think I'm supposed to just be, you know, doing a push-up strong enough that my whole body goes up in the air. But I'm giving a little hop with my knees.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm doing it right. But I've asked a few people and they say it looks good to them. So I don't know.
It sounds like a full body push-up is what you're doing, which I would say would be what you're
pretty
looking
much
for.
Yeah.
I choose not to exercise, so I really don't have a dog in the fight here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one that went on Twitter, that was the sixth one. Yeah, there was a little practice that went in there. But BJ Split is the one who put that on Twitter, and I was reading it, and I was like, it's a 29-day plan. And I'm like, I know I can do steps one and two. Let's try three and four. And if I can do three and four, then we're going to cut to the chase and see if we can do it. And if we can do it, we're putting this on Twitter. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened. So about 5 minutes after BJ posted that, I had decided that I'm going to give this a go, and there it was. So it was fun. It was things we do in the office when we're a little bit bored, you know?
Yeah.
But
must have been a slow day, much like today, as you were saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It was actually kind of busy, I think. But, you know, we always find time to do things like that, you know?
The really important
What did we do before Twitter? What did we do before Twitter?
I don't want to know.
No, but all right, Davis, I think we should get to the news because we got to talk to Bubba, and I want to talk to Bubba about CPI. So let's go. Hit us with the news, buddy.
Well, Ted, profit taking in winter wheat pressured futures in today's trade, but the market's uptrend remains technically intact. Spring spread action between spring and winter wheat contracts supported spring wheat early on, while limiting support for winter wheat futures as traders look ahead to tomorrow's export sales reports, which are expected to remind of sluggish demand for U.S. wheat amid hefty competition. However, drought conditions remain in key HRW growing areas, keeping losses in futures in check. Overall, though, all three flavors of wheat posted closes below unchanged today.
Yeah, a little bit of profit taking, a little bit of a cooling off of that market. As you said, that spread activity, there's been a lot there, and we want to talk a little bit more about that with Chris Robinson, who is our guest today. But the key of what you just said is that the drought conditions remain, and I do think there's still more upside potential for the wheat.
Well, March hard red futures were down 4.75 to 4.69 3/4. March soft red fell a nickel to 4.55 3/4. March spring wheat was 1.5 cents lower to $6.25. After favoring the downside in overnight trade, corn futures recovered to close on the plus side of unchanged today. Futures were supported by persistent rains in key producing regions of Brazil, which may weigh on Safrina corn plantings. Ethanol production fell 41,000 barrels per day in the weekend of February 9, but Ted, ethanol stocks also fell a solid 604,000 barrels to 22.89 million barrels at the same time. In other demand news, USDA reported unknown destinations bought 123,000 metric tons of U.S. corn. That's for 2017-18 delivery, Ted.
Yeah, the ethanol was a bit curious for me because profit margins actually swung to the positive side. So I'm not exactly sure why we slowed down a little bit there. Very interesting. So we'll see. And as far as the safrinic corn plantings in Brazil, you know, there's a lot of smart people down in Brazil that are thinking that we're going to see an 86 to 88 million metric ton crop out of Brazil. USDA is still at 95. So that is really a big difference. We're going to have to see what happens with that.
Well, March corn futures were a half cent higher with 367 and one quarter. July corn up a half cent to 382 and one half. December corn closed with a hat trick at 396, up a half cent today. Soybeans were lower in the overnight session, but as with corn, futures firmed slightly through the day session. South American weather remains a concern for traders as weekend rains are expected to be erratic in Argentina. Meanwhile, wet weather continues to hamper Brazilian harvest progress and raise quality concerns. Soy meal futures led beans to the upside, and we're reporting that the South American trucker strike has come to an end. So there
come
you go,
to
Ted.
An end. The truckers got it together. That's good news. Yeah, it's the meal deal, and we're going to talk a lot about that with Chris. And there's a lot to that. I've got a lot of thoughts on it that we'll spend talking about at the end of the show as well.
Good. Well, March soybean futures were 5.5 cents higher at 10.17 and one quarter. July beans gained 5.5 to 10.37 and one half. November beans closed at 10.20 even. That's up just 0.75 cents today. On the livestock side, April cattle were 45 cents higher at 125.22 and a half. June cattle gained 40 cents to 117.05. March feeders firmed 90 cents to 148.17 and a half. A decent day for the hogs today, Ted. April lean hogs up $1.22 and a half at 70.65, and June hogs gained $1 to 80.52 and one half. Ted.
Woohoo, they needed it. Yeah, it really did. And hogs have gotten beaten up lately. But listen, I'd like to go to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, get fuel from the floor from Bubba, Todd Horowitz from Bubba Trading. Really want to talk about the CPI numbers that we saw this morning. Bubba, how's it going?
What's up, Ted? How are you?
Nah, I'm doing well. So we had CPI this morning. It was the biggest increase that we saw on a monthly basis for about a year at a 0.5% increase. What's that telling you?
Well, they're looking for inflation, and this is going to be it. And, of course, the markets immediately reacted, and the Dow futures broke 450 points in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And now, of course, they've come all the way back, and now we're up 200 and something.
Yeah.
So this is, everything's going to relate back to interest rates. That's really the whole deal here. And interest rates are going up. Now, right now, they're adjusting to it, but I think that you're going to see – if we get the 10-year over 3%, I think you're going to see a lot of money come out of the equity markets, and I think that's going to be the real deal.
Yeah, okay. And do you think that we're going to see the Fed aggressively raise interest rates, and how many times do you think they can do it this year?
They're going to have to. They're going to do it at least three more times this year. They're going to be forced into a box, as they always are and always have been in history, because they've always lost their way when it comes down to the key punch, and this is right now, right? They've blown their opportunity. They should have been raising all along. Mm-hmm. As the economy mm-hmm. was getting stronger, according to them, they should have been raising the rates all the way through. They did not, and now they're going to get stuck. We're going to get stuck probably in a hyperinflation kind of a situation, and they're going to be forced to raise to slow it down. And, of course, that will create the debacle, and I think the Fed will end up being the black swan of the stock market this time.
All right, just a few seconds left here, Bubba. What do you think that does for commodities?
Well, I think commodities are going to go higher. I mean, I think, you know, we've been buying wheat since 410 and corn since 346, and, you know, I think you still buy them. I think you'll buy every pullback, because when the money does come out of the equities, it's going to go into the grains and into the livestock. So I think it bodes real well for agricultural goods, because that's a great alternative spot, and when people are looking for places to go, that will be it.
That's great stuff, Bubba, and I absolutely agree. I mean, especially when you've got markets that are, you know, at or near their five-year lows, that is a very interesting thing for the funds to look at. So thanks, Bubba. Have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
everybody. Thanks, bud. Ted Seifert, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Come on back.
Sorting through information on weed resistance is hard work. FJWeedControlSolutions.com is the answer. Farm Journal partnered with Bayer to create your go-to source for up-to-date, concise weed control solutions. Listen to some of the latest advice shared.
Are you killing weeds at the right time, before they cut into your yields? To avoid yield losses from weed interference, research shows that time is of the essence. But each crop has its own critical period of weed control that you need to know. Cropping practices, the weed spectrum, weed size, and pre-emergence weed control are all factors too. Visit us online to read more about how you can stay ahead of weeds before they cut into yields.
See the whole story and more at FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Fresh updates to keep you on top of today's fast-changing weed control news. Timely and accurate information from sources you can depend on. Visit FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Brought to you by Farm Journal and Bayer.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company, proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
Roots, they're your crop's foundation. Your success depends on them. Your roots can make or break you each season. Take charge of your roots this season with Radiate from Crop Production Services, designed to give your crop a stronger, more robust foundation for yield and quality. Radiate can make all the difference for your crop this season. Ask your CPS dealer about Radiate or go to RadiateGiveBack.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress, I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge, and here on a Wednesday, really very pretty Wednesday here in Chicago. It is about 44 degrees or so. We recently had about 14 inches of snow, and I've had the privilege and sort of entertaining sort of viewpoint all day of watching the building next to me. The snow and the ice chunks have been falling off the top, and whenever it happens, I get up and look out the window and they watch the people down below scatter like ants. It's it's fun. I would not want to see that happen. You know, I wouldn't want to be the guy down there, but
you know, Ted.
But it is kind of funny.
If I can hop in and get ultra rural on you here for a moment, my granddad, and I'm sure I've told our listening audience this before, my granddad always tells the story of the spring thaw when we had exceptionally large snows, and the snow came crashing down off of the barn roof into the barnyard onto his bull and killed
it
one year. So yeah, I would advise caution. I think you and I are in agreement. Let's be careful with the falling tons of snow, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I feel like we should be wearing helmets when we're walking around the city, because I've actually gotten hit by a piece of ice, and it was smaller than a golf ball, but man, that hurt. That really hurt. It kind of ruined my day.
You may be a snowflake if.
Yes, I'm wearing a helmet. I'm wearing a helmet to work today. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's probably advisable, though, in Chicago.
Yeah, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that can happen here in Chicago.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you got to protect your
helmet is probably the least of the worries. I mean, she's probably wearing a vest too, but
You
know, well, I don't know. That's a whole different part of the city that I don't really see very often, and occasionally something will happen around these parts. But we all kind of are shocked and awed when it does. But yeah, there's that whole other side of the city that we try not to venture to. But
right.
Anyways, Davis, so, you know, let's get into the conversation. Today we're going to be talking to Chris Robinson of Top Third. I've known Chris for a while. I met him down on the floor. Chris is a great guy. Probably could do a Superman push-up as well. We might have to ask him about that later on. But
how are you?
Before we get there, hey, buddy, how's it going today? Get hit by any ice on the way?
Wednesday.
Yeah, no, you know.
I'm Exactly. Another day above ground. It's a good day.
There you go. There you go, buddy. All right. Well, let's get into the conversation. Time flies when you're having fun. So I want to lead off with soybeans. I mean, obviously, that is sort of the bigger market mover in the grain side of things right now. You know, the Argentina situation is has really come to a head. They missed out on some rains over the weekend, and you know, we were off to the races here to start the week. But even before that, you go back to the USDA report that we had last Thursday, and we had what everybody was considering a very bearish USDA report, yet the response was very positive from meal and then eventually soybeans as well. So what are you seeing in the soybean market? And, you know, with meal driving, what's the deal with soybean meal?
Well, I think you had that gap and go in soybean meal. That's huge. And you also have the second kicker, which is the fact that the managed money, they're really long meal. They're long by 50,000. And once they get their teeth into something, they'll stick with it. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. So, you know, we started at the beginning of the year with always it comes out of Asia, you know, with the Malaysian palm oil story. Then it starts drifting over here. But the biggest thing is the crush. Right now, the crush margins are the best they've been in years. And that's what I think is going to drive this. So it's good. It's a, and the best grain markets that we've had in the 25, 30 years I've been doing this. But you always have a good market if it's led up by meal. That's generally a good indicator. I don't like the bean rallies that are led up by oil because they're too sensitive to everything else. So long story short, well, we got a good setup. You know,
we don't crush beans for oil. So yeah. Absolutely.
Right. But it's there. That's the number one thing I think in that's driving this. And it's just, you know, you throw it into a ball of wax. We got a big CPI number today. People are talking about inflation again. When that happens, there's a general push. People want to own physical commodities. So, you know, we've certainly been struggling here. I'm looking at a chart now. Beans, you know, go back for a year and a half. We've been in about $1.25, $1.40 trading range. So we're on the precipice of breaking out. I wish there was some magical lighter fluid you could throw on this thing. So if we can extend up, I think, and take out those contract highs, then we could have something to talk about in 2018. But all in all, good action in the beans. We just need follow through.
Yeah, and that's a good point. It really has been sort of coiling for a move for some time now. So when you have that sort of energy, we tend to see a pretty decent sized move at some point. But you know, gonna go back to the crush here for a moment. And yes, crush margins are great. We should be crushing more meal. It seems our meal demand for export has been really quite strong. But how much more capacity do we have for the crush? I mean, the USDA is already at 1.950 billion bushel crush. That is a record by 51 million bushel. How many more bushel do you think we can add on top of that?
Well, hopefully a lot more. We'll see. You know, we're at that precipice. I think that as long as the margins stay, that doesn't really matter. I mean, as long as prices don't go through the roof, those margins are good. I think the guys will continue to do it because at the end of the day, that's really what commercials are looking at. Can they continue to make a profit? It's like everything else. They'll do it till the numbers tell them not to. So we'll see moving forward. You know, also, too, when the market gets bad news and rallies, and let's face it, we had some bad news. You had China canceled. First they canceled corn, and then they canceled the beans, the beginning of the week. And when you get a market that gets bad news and rallies anyhow, that's a sign that there's some underlying strength. So throw it all into a ball of wax. I hope that we've got some legs to this thing. And, again, I'm really concerned how we settle this Friday. You know, it's Mondays and Fridays. And if we can get a good settlement on Friday and then guys have all weekend to look at those charts, again, then we can get some more upside, I think, support.
Okay, yeah. And so, you know, the idea here is, you know, go back to the USDA report last Thursday, and for soybeans at 530 million bushel carryover, that's a very big number. That number's been growing, which it usually doesn't. Usually, USDA has to backpedal and lower that number throughout the year, but that number's actually been growing this year, which is a bit of a concern. And you're right, if crush can offset some of the lack of exports, that can help things out. But there's a big question in my mind about how much capacity we have to crush. What do you think this does to exports, though, now that we've had a 45, 50-cent rally, even when exports were not that great? Do you think exports get better? Does the global end user get more concerned about South American weather? Or are our exports going to really suffer now going forward?
Well, that's the one – that was the biggest surprise, I think, if you dig into that last USDA report. We dropped exports by 60 million bushels. I mean, and that is – a sign that China is pulling back for whatever reason. Are we really getting into the teeth of some issue between us and China or not? But I think that was a big surprise, and you've seen them step in to try and do more business in South America. So they've been pulled away from us. Now, is this just part of the trade negotiations? I don't know. That was pretty bearish news, and for the market to still rally in spite of that, like I said, historically, when the market's rallying, when you think maybe it shouldn't be because of the crush numbers or the pure supply and demand, if you're able to maintain a rally, those are sometimes the best ones. Where 4 or 5 months from now, we'll be looking back and going, oh, that's what we didn't see happening.
Yeah.
So I think the prices are doing surprisingly well, considering the fact that we've had a decrease in exports from the U.S. And again, is this just positioning? Sometimes the Chinese will do that. I mean, they'll make a cancellation because they want to buy the dip. At the end of the day, they've got a billion people to feed and they've got 400 million hogs to feed. They're going to need meal, moving forward, no matter what. So, I like the action in spite of the negative fundamentals.
And that's a great point. You know, if fundamentals are bearish, which they have been for a long time, and we get bad news and we're still acting well, that does really bode well for strength in the market. It really shows that the market is going to go, it just wants to go higher regardless, and that's great. So do you follow the soybean spreads, like old crop, new crop, say May, November spread,
and
see what that was doing?
July Nov? Yeah, July Nov, yeah. About the 20. I mean, earlier this year it was 5 under. Well, I look at that spread a lot. July Nov is definitely has moved out. How far can it go? Well, again, I've been doing this since 1992. I've seen a lot of different markets, but right now it's certainly moving the right way, and we'll see if we can extend it out. I mean, can we get out to?
Is that telling us anything on flat price direction on soybeans as a whole? I mean, because it's kind of, we've got some bull spreading going on there now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a bull spread when you buy old crop, sell new crop, and it's widening. So that spread, at an earlier point in the year, it was 5 under. And I believe, if my numbers are right, full carry, like the worst case scenario, would be about 35 under, 38 under. So a lot of people, you get two people that get into that spread. Number one, speculators. Number two, commercials. So they'll look for that spread. And absolutely, I mean, it can be a very, very lucrative trade, but it can also, when it turns, I've seen that thing turn and hurt a lot of people. In the past, but usually it turns somewhere around June, July 4th weekend, we kind of peak out. But right now, you definitely have interest in certainly speculators, and I think even more so.
All right, Chris. Well, we've talked
that spread on, so it might be a situation where I continue to watch that spread. That July no spread is a good indicator. And
Chris, we've talked a bit about soybeans, so we're going to come back and we're going to talk more corn and wheat. So everybody, come on back to AgriTalk.
Today's big problem? Get rid of missed weeds for good with Liberty, the herbicide that puts an end to missed weeds, guaranteed. Plus, Liberty is proven effective on tough-to-control and resistant grasses and broadleaf weeds. So choose Liberty, the simply better solution for superior weed control. Backed by the Liberty Weed Control Guarantee. Talk to your retailer to learn how you can qualify for the Liberty Guarantee. Always read and follow label directions.
What makes SO4 the smart sulfur source? Superior solubility for delivering sulfur and calcium when the plant needs it throughout the entire growing season. Other sulfur sources release too quickly or too slowly, failing to meet the crop's full needs. SO4 is also pH neutral, so it won't acidify the soil like those other sulfur sources. As you can see, SO4 is the smart sulfur source. Talk to your agronomist or learn more at calciumproducts.com.
It's time for AgriTalk After the Bell's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today?
Hey, Ted, I'm looking at March soft bread winter wheat futures today. Wheat prices fell sharply last summer and fall, with the March SRW contract falling to $4.105 per bushel at the December 12th low. But the market has rallied steadily since then, reaching highs of 458.75 on January 31st, 464.5 last Thursday, and 460.75 yesterday. This suggests potential to continue rising. However, I would point out that its 200-day moving average at 470.25 implies major resistance at slightly higher levels. Moreover, its 14-day relative strength index has posted lower highs at the latest price peaks. thereby forming a classic three-step divergence. This implies wheat is vulnerable to a technical reversal.
Thanks, Dan. That's Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Get more chart insight in the Pro Farmer newsletter. Just go to tryprofarmer.com.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Input Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Input Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Input Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Expert analysis from the CME floor and experts across the country. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I'm from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here on this Wednesday. And we were talking to Chris about soybeans, and time does certainly fly when you're having fun. So we had a very long conversation about soybeans, a very good conversation about soybeans. So we got to get into a little bit more about the corn, wheat, and try to touch on the cattle here as well. But before we do that, let's go to a quick market recap from newsman extraordinaire Davis Michelson. Davis, take it away, boss.
Sure thing. Well, Ted, March hard red futures were down 4.75 today to 4.69 3/4. March SRW fell a nickel to 4.55 3/4. July corn was up a half cent to 3.82 1/2. December corn closed to 3.96 1/2, also up a half cent today. March soybean futures 5.5 cents higher at 10.17 1/4. Novi beans closed at 10.20 even, up just 0.75 cents today. On the livestock side, June cattle gained 40 cents to 1.1705. March feeders firmed 90 cents to 1.4817 1/2. And April lean hogs were up a $1.22 1/2 at 70.65. There's your quick market recap. Let's get back to her, Ted.
Thanks, buddy. You're the man. All right, Chris, we were talking earlier about, we talked a lot about soybeans. You mentioned CPI earlier. Bubba was talking about CPI earlier. He thinks that it's a sign of more to come, more sort of inflationary moves to come. Are you thinking the same? And in particular, I want to know what your thoughts are on that for corn.
Well, I mean, if we get inflation, like I said, there's always a flight to guys that want to own physical commodities. And if somebody's looking at, you know, something to buy, they'll buy it across the board. So they'll buy a blanket, you know, across the board. And you've got corn and wheat just coming off, you know, pretty major lows. So it's oversold. So there's it's another inclination to try in and step in and pick some bottom. So despite the fact that we have huge supplies worldwide, we may get a situation where money flow trumps fundamentals. So that'll all shake itself out in the next 2, 3, 4 months. But I'd say, barring a weather event, we haven't really had a weather event in South America yet. Barring one here in the U.S., the number one thing we're going to have to be hanging our hats on is going to be money flow. And if everybody decides they want to own physical commodities, it could be supportive.
Yeah, and so, you know, you say we haven't really had a weather event, and obviously we've got, you know, some issues going on with Argentina, which has certainly had a big effect on soybean meal in particular. But how does, do you see that affecting corn, or do you think that's just sort of a non-event for corn?
No, I don't think it's really come through yet for corn. I think we're going to be focused more on, I mean, they're starting to get their second crop planted down there, but I think that we're really, the further we get away from this month, February, March, we're going to be start talking about, you know, what's going on with, are we going to have planting delays? Is it too dry? What's the subsoil here in the U.S.? And that's going to be the focus. And I think you, if you look at the charts kind of prove that out. We're at the top of a 20-cent trading range. It feels like we've climbed Mount Everest. I mean, you know, it's if you look at even old crop, new crop, I can't remember the last time a 22-cent rain rally off the bottom felt like, you know, we've come so far. And I think that that's the other thing. So there's plenty of money out there that wants to get to work. Right now the funds are still short corn and wheat. They've taken a big chunk of that short position off. That's part of the reason we've rallied 20 cents. But there's so much product out there that, again, I think it's going to take some sort of weather issue between now and July 4th, you know, to really spark it, because there's plenty of supply out there.
Yeah, so weather issue here in the States is what you're saying, and sure, I
think so.
Totally understand.
I mean, unless there's something out there we don't see coming over the horizon, it's going to have to be the fact that these guys want to own physical commodities. And you've seen it last year; they really supported cattle prices. I mean, there's plenty of cattle out there, but the market, every time we have a dip, they buy it. They're long 80,000 fat contracts. There's plenty of cattle coming, you know, down the pipeline. You saw it in cotton. Cotton is a little market in itself, but they stepped in and they wanted to own cotton. They helped put those prices higher. It's more difficult with a market like corn because there's so much supply out there. It's hard for them to push it around. But certainly there's a desire on the part of the financial community to own physical commodities. And if they get any reason at all to get long, they have plenty of money. They've just made a fortune in the past 5 years in the stock market. They all want to take some of that money off the table and put it into other assets.
Yeah, and what's a few billion bushels of corn between friends, right, Chris?
That's right.
Right.
Why can't they just buy it all, right?
Buy it all, guys. Buy it all as much as you want. We'll grow some more for you. We'll grow more next year. Speaking of which, you know, as far as acreage is concerned, do you have any strong ideas on how the acreage mix shapes up this year? Do you think corn's gaining or losing acreage versus soybeans? What do you think there?
Well, I think as long as beans stay above $10, I mean, at the end of the day, farmers want to plant corn, right? They may tell their banker one thing and do something else. I mean, but they always find a reason to plant corn. I think if we can get corn, new crop corn, to that 420, 430 level again, you'll see guys want to do that. They would just rather plant corn. My years watching this business, now we're right there against big resistance, right? We can't get above $4. If we can extend through that, again, that would give guys a reason. And we may have an acres issue if we do get corn. But I think if there is going to be any issue at all, it's going to be corn pulling away acres from beans. You know, so we'll see. But that's the key. We got to get, you know, most guys need 420, 430 on the board to make it work. You know, and at $4, a lot of guys are right on the bubble.
Okay. And what do you think the chances are we get there? I mean, obviously, like you said, it's been a tough go getting over $4, but what do you think?
I'd say at this point it all comes down to the weather. I mean, it could be a perfect storm. If we get some sort of weather issue and we have, obviously, more inflation, if we start getting inflation throughout the economy and then people would have a reason to say, well, I don't really care about the fundamentals. I want to own corn. And, you know, we could be off for the races there. And then I guess the other thing we have to watch too is what goes on with China, what goes on with NAFTA. That's been the big kind of what if. If we were to come off the rails there, then I think we're back to maybe having some price pressure. But if we can work through that and maintain a demand moving forward and not shoot ourselves in the foot from a trade standpoint, I think that we could see some support moving on. So what are the chances? I'd say probably 60-40. I mean, if we get a weather issue, probably 80-20 that we take off. But we need Mother Nature to do something drastic. Either it's got to be too wet or too dry in the next, 2 to 4 months.
So, Chris, really not knowing – not knowing if we're going to have a weather issue here in the States, not knowing what's going to happen as far as inflation is concerned, and not knowing what's going to happen as far as NAFTA is concerned, do you think this is a good price point for producers to start making some sales or being more aggressive on sales, even if they have made sales earlier in the past, in the recent past?
Oh, yeah, especially if you if your basis is getting better. That's the other thing, too. If you get a chance, if your basis starts to get better, I think that's a situation we want to make some sales. But we're right up against major resistance. And, you know, we've seen this in the past past two marketing years where we've had really times where there's been very few days to actually do something from a hedging standpoint. So as we get closer to that number, make sure you've got your offers out there waiting. Don't hesitate. If it gets close, you know, do some marketing. And the flip side is definitely look at doing some sort of a hedge. I mean, you can always keep your upside open. Put option is the best way to lay off your risk. You're not selling. You're not locking in your price there. You're keeping the upside completely open. But if we get closer to this $4, $4.10 level, I think everybody out there, if you don't want to make any sales, then you need to get some hedges on and use the markets for what they're there for. They're here so you can lay your risk off, and that's the key. So when it gets close, you got to pull the trigger. And maybe you don't do 100%, but, you know, do 20, 30, 40%, get something on the books. And I would say that, too, for beans. Right now you can protect $10 beans for relatively little amount of dough. And if we get an $11, $12, $13 move this summer, you'll have the upside open. You know, as long as you don't do something where you sell three calls to buy a put, something like that, that can blow up in your face. But right now, I think that if you haven't been looking for opportunities, they're out there, and they're not that expensive. Volatility is still low. Yeah. Both the puts and the calls are still relatively cheap. So, you know, I'd say it's definitely worth taking a look at doing something.
Great. Okay, Chris, we're going to go into lightning round mode because we only got about 2 minutes left. So we're going to quickly touch on wheat. We've seen a big move in Kansas City wheat. Is it time to sell or you think we see more upside?
I think I'd get some sales done and I also set some hedges. We're up against big resistance, six-month highs. Don't look that 75-cent rally.
Yep.
Don't look at don't let that get away.
Yes. All right. So cattle. We got stock market uncertainty, big turnaround here today after CPI numbers. We got the drought in the plains, so we might be a little bit quicker to market and might see a little bit more supply in the near term. Funds are really rather long. Do you see that fund position as a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. I mean, they supported us all last year. Go back to where we were in the summertime. You know, we were, you know, almost at the buck, and they took us all the way up to fat cattle up to 118. We've had some volatility, but they've stepped in every time and bought it. I think I'm a producer. When you get those highs, you definitely want to set some hedges. And I think for now they're your buddy. And I think and those commitment to traders reports comes out every Friday. You can see every Friday where they're sitting. So take advantage of that information.
Yep. Now, do you think we're going to be able to push higher in the cattle at this point? Or, I mean, because we're kind of stalling out here. Now, we haven't really been able to break. Like you said, the funds have been buying the dips and supporting us. But to what extent are they going to continue to do that? And if we, do you think we can break out to the upside? I mean, fundamentally and also technically, where do you see us going?
Well, fundamentally, there's plenty of cattle out there. Every cattle on feed we've had, I think 7 out of the last 9 has been really bearish. We generally have a correction. We're sharply down, and we bottom out, and these guys step in and continue to buy it. So I think at some point we're going to have a day of reckoning, especially with all these heavy cattle that are in the pipeline, the placements. Every time we get a cattle on feed, and we got another one coming up. But at the end of the day, they're pushing this market around. They're long 80, 90,000 contracts. If I'm a producer, I hope that we can extend it. I mean, if you look at June fat cattle.
Sounds good.
If they can.
All right, Chris, we got to run. Time flies, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll talk to you again later.
Cheers.
All right. Come on back to AgriTalk after the bell.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation 4-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. you will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com.
So, Mr. Woof, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of John Deere Lead TV. I'm Pam Fretwell. Why in the world would we be out here in February talking about greening up in wheat?
Well, because if you can imagine, in a couple weeks here, it's going to look a little different, Pam. And in terms of green up, one of the key things that we want to think about is the longer we wait into the spring green up period, the easier it is to assess, what that crop really needs in terms of that second nitrogen application. But obviously we have a deadline on the backside and trying to get the nitrogen on before the crop goes into joining stage. So it creates a pretty good pain point in there. I mean, it could be a window as small as 7 to maybe 14 days that you're going to need to get that application done.
So what do really they have to do in order to manage this a little bit better so that they're ready to do those applications right away? Tell me about some of the processes.
We've got some really high capacity capabilities now for doing that. So with the new spray technologies that are out there with 120 foot and 132 foot booms, 1200, 1600 gallon tanks, we could essentially put on 600 to 900 acres of fertilizer in a day. If a guy's got 5,000 acres, he could probably get that done in that 6 to 7 day window.
I know a lot of the guys worry about with their application of N, and what's that going to do to my yields as far as those tracks out there?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of hesitancy out there, in terms of running over a growing crop. As you get closer to the joining too, that there is the risk for more damage there. But on the other hand, we've got some new tire technology on some of the tire sizes that we have today. You may be only impacting around 2% of the crop with the wide boom widths, and with a low damage tire like an increased flex on tire, it doesn't do as much damage to the crop when you're applying that nitrogen.
Thanks, Yancey. That's going to be it for this episode of John Deere Lead TV. I'm Pam Fretwell.
Oh, Ed, see the headlines?
Yep, Credenz soybeans are designed using smart genetics.
Look, state-of-the-art breeding advances the best germplasm.
Plus, tailored varieties for any field conditions with choice in herbicide-tolerant traits.
And Credenz soybeans come backed by Bayer's ongoing innovation.
Want increased yields and ROI? Plant the smarter soybean.
Talk to an authorized Credenz retailer or discover the right Credenz variety at credenz.bayer.us.
Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Andrew McRae, host of the American Countryside, inviting you to join myself and Farm Journal listeners on an adventure to Italy, August 8th through the 17th. We'll enjoy Rome, Florence, and Venice, see the Colosseum, the canals, rolling hills, and sprawling vineyards, and much more. Get the details by clicking the link at AmericanCountryside.com or just give Colette Travel a call at 800-581-8942. That's 581-8942, and mention American Countryside's Reflections of Italy tour. There's an early bird discount for Farm Journal listeners, so don't wait. Join us today.
Next Era Energy Resources, an American company working side by side with farmers and ranchers to harness the power of the wind and create local jobs for small towns. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
Big orange ball.
Welcome back to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge, and we were talking to Chris Robinson from Top Third. Covered a lot of ground there really quickly sort of at the end, but talked a lot about soybeans, a bit about corn, touched on wheat, touched on cattle there real quick. I think we really needed to spend that time on soybeans. The soybeans have been the bigger market mover here recently, and there's a lot of people that are just still not quite able to wrap their head around what's going on with soybean meal and why soybeans have rallied ever since we got a really bearish report from the USDA. And so, Davis, I kind of want to take some time to go through that a little bit, but...
You mean there is more to it than just what USDA says?
There is.
How can that be?
But that's the thing. You know, when we get those reports like that, we always rush through to the big number, because these reports are coming out during the market. We know we're trading against the computers and the algorithms, and we know that they're reacting to the big numbers. So we're going to the big numbers first, right? And we react to that big number first. But when you read between the lines, there was something in that USDA report that caused concern. And what that was is, when you drop Argentina by 2 million metric tons and you don't offset and you don't raise the U.S. domestic crush, that makes you wonder, okay, why are we lowering global crush by 1 million metric tons? It's not a huge amount, but it is lowering the global crush by 1 million metric tons, and yet we're not increasing it anywhere else. We're dropping it in Argentina, but we're not increasing it anywhere else. That makes the market really question, do we have the capacity to increase crush? And this is what we were trying, I was getting into this with Chris a little bit, and this is a question that I'm really trying to figure out, is what is our capacity to increase the crush? And with the fact that we are already 51 million bushels over the previous record that we set, or at least that's what the USDA is expecting, and I fully think we'll hit that number, how much further than that can we go? And from what I can tell, there might be a lid somewhere between 60 and 80 million bushel more than, so somewhere around 2.03 would probably be the furthest we can go with crush. And that's, again, that's not a solid number. It's sort of a work in progress that I'm trying to figure this out. But if we did that and we added another 80 million bushel, well, that really only takes us down to a 450 million bushel carryover, even if we keep exports. I mean, we got to get exports on track to the point where we can hit the USDA's target now at this point, because we're still not on pace to hit the USDA's target. And the higher prices that we've seen in soybeans make me wonder even more if we're ever going to be able to catch up. Because, if our exports were terrible, and we saw cancellations earlier this week, but if our exports were terrible when we were 45 cents cheaper, how is that getting better? Unless global end users are getting more nervous about the situation. And we'll see. Export sales tomorrow, I think, is going to be a very big deal. So again, just to backtrack, the market reacted initially on Thursday when we saw the report based on the big carryover number that we saw on soybeans, well above the trade expectations, big drop in exports. But then we read between the lines, we realized that, okay, the crush didn't increase. And is that, what's the reason for that? Does USDA think that we can't see a crush number much higher than that? Are they really holding on to their powder to make sure that they can raise it, at some point later on down the line, but they don't have a whole lot of wiggle room there? And that's where the concern it came in. And that's why you've seen such a big move in meal since then, is because now, yes, your global end users are worried that we might not be able to crush enough. And when you take Argentina, who crushes something like 45% of the world, or produces about 45% of the world's meal exports, and you give them a bad crop, then that's a problem. Well, it is and it isn't, because if you look at the stocks that they had, Argentina had almost a full year of soybeans coming into this growing season. They've got, 36 million metric tons of soybeans in storage, not including the crop that they've got in right now. So if they fall short by 6 or even 7 or 8 million metric tons, they've got the beans. Now, question is whether they want to pull them out. They've been using them as an inflationary hedge. But at what point do you take a hedge off? Because the peso is really been under pressure against the dollar, may not go much lower, so now might be a good time for that. And even if they don't want to take their beans out of storage, their next door neighbor Brazil has a lot of soybeans, and their number seems to be growing. So they could probably pull, they have in the past, they can pull beans from Brazil and crush them. I just don't think that the vast resources of Argentina's crushing plants, their soybean processors, are going to go idle for this next year. And I really don't think that their crush is going to be affected much. So I'm really worried that this big move that we're seeing in soybean meal is going to end poorly. Right now, I think what we're seeing is more of a short squeeze than anything else. Your crushers have been caught short. Your commercials have been caught short. And when basis is not going their way, that's a really big problem for them. So they've had to run for the doors. Funds have come in and pushed that along as well. But again, I don't know. I really don't think we have a meal crisis. So let it happen while it's happening. And producers, I think we really need to be using this in order to price. But the fact of the matter is that we're probably going to hurt exports doing it. We're probably going to have a very big carryover number, and we're probably going to plant 91 million acres of soybeans as well. So you put all those things together, and it's really hard to justify these higher prices in the long run. So that's my two cents on that. I really wanted to get that out. So with that, Davis,
yeah,
take us to the tweet of the day, buddy.
Well, today's tweets are brought to you by Farm Life Love. City Slickers think they have a monopoly on amorosity. Valentine's Day or not, there's a lot to love on the farm. And now, today's tweets at Garrick Pettit. Don't buy her a dozen roses. Buy her a dozen bred heifers.
Yes.
Good luck getting them in the box. At Sabrina right. W. Hill, I got a Valentine for my cat, and it made me unreasonably happy. At CB Kimbrell, long-suffering is the act of carrying hot pizza home in the back seat when you live 30 minutes from the pizzeria. And one more at DFaber84. The sales guy says, thanks for your tractor purpose. Have you figured out how to get it from California to Washington? Shipping is expensive. He says, that's for Alaska Air to figure out. It's my emotional support tractor.
Yes! Emotional support tractor. Faber, he had a thing about the emotional support peacock.
Yes.
I like the emotional. I said I want to have an emotional support tiger shark. But anyways, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks Chris Robinson for being a guest on the show today. Tomorrow, Chip will be broadcasting live from the National Farm Machinery Show. It's been great fun. Take care, everybody.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company, proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.